Okay. This is a man who
hadn't
paid off his mortgage.
Well, David K. Johnston, I want to thank you for being with us. Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, editor of DCReport.org. His most recent book, It's Even Worse Than You Think, What the Trump Administration is Doing to America. Tonight, we will be streaming the first presidential debate live, 9 Eastern Standard Time at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay safe. Wear a mask.
Thank you very much, Amy. And Amy, before you go, our apologies. We cut you off earlier. I'd like for you to repeat what it was you were saying. Just introduce yourself again.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman. In this critical election year, you count on Democracy Now! To stay focused on the stories that matter most. And we count on you to support our independent journalism. If everyone who tunes into Democracy Now! Signed up for a monthly donation of, say, just $6, we could cover our operating costs for the entire year. Really, that's all it would take. Please do your part today by visiting us at democracynow.org. Stay safe, wear a mask, save lives. And thank you so much.
No, thank you, Amy. And again, that address, democracynow.org. Please support that program. The enlightenment it has brought to so many people over the years is immeasurable. But we are about to attempt something else for the next hour. It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. And that means it's time once again for Off the Wall. A very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes, I'm over here.
There you are. There you are indeed. And again, folks, apologies for that snafu before. Apparently, this is new to me, there are listeners that object to Democracy Now! Asking for funds, which has been going on since Democracy Now! Existed. This is what we are up against. These right-wing people even listen to our station. We have right-wing shows. We do. And they're every bit as misguided and full of propaganda as you would expect. But we do have different viewpoints. The one thing that we have here at WUSB is the ability to tolerate, if not celebrate, other opinions. What we are going to see in the weeks and probably months ahead, and hopefully not years, is every dirty trick in the book being used on every level of our society to try and silence or gain dominance over views that are different than one's own. And I hope that none of that comes from the side that I like, but I fear some of it might. But I know that a lot of it is going to come from that other side. We're seeing it today, in fact. If you follow Trump's tweets, which I do not advise, but it does sort of keep you up to date as to what's going through his chasm of a mind.
I actually have to say, you really took one for the team, as it were, in this program, because I hadn't subscribed. I rely on you.
Look at me. I've aged 20 years in 4 years because of that.
It must be something like that. I wasn't thinking that, but you're right. There's something different about you. I think it's that reaction, you know, when you burst out. You don't like being bothered, with anything. Unless it's in support of voting. So I've never seen you like this.
You talk about the waking up screaming part again. How many times do I have to apologize? I just have these very vivid nightmares, and then it turns out they're the news, and they're not nightmares at all. And that's when the screaming starts.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the screaming will end in the weeks ahead.
It's been 4 years, and I haven't had to read any of that. Mm. Line of thought. So I want to thank you. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, bad news, folks. Trump has arrived in Cleveland for the debate tonight. That means our little ruse to get him to go to a different Cleveland did not work. He went to the right Cleveland.
And now, I was curious, did they go through, like, metal detectors and stuff? Like, I just want to know, is this going to be a clean debate?
What, you think he's going to take a shot at Biden?
I'm just thinking of, like, you know, opportunities along the campaign trail to, have a duel. And this is a duel of wits, of course.
You know, okay, if the two of them start pulling out swords and going at it, you know, full fencing mode on stage, I don't think Chris Wallace is going to stop them. I don't know. I wouldn't stop them. And I think Biden can dominate on that front.
At least until, like, first blood. And then they, like, calm down and we have a nice discussion.
I've always believed that fencing should be one of the skills that any presidential candidate should possess.
Yeah.
It's a traditional, but also it does come in handy because, like you say, you know, you can bring guns into debates or other meetings, but I think you can slip a sword in.
And I think Biden's he's pretty athletic. I don't know.
For what is he? 87? 5?
77. 77. He's a couple years older than the contender, the incumbent contender, Donald J. Trump.
Okay, so they're only in their 70s and not in their 80s, but they will be in their 80s.
Yeah, I mean, this is like you're like a grocery, like say there's like a six pack of Ensure, it's the last one at the grocery store.
All right,
let's stop
with the old jokes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, I was saying, we are already seeing some of these acts of intimidation. And one of them today, if you read Trump's tweets, you'll see that he's complaining about something happening in Philadelphia where apparently a group of Trump people wanted to gain access to a polling area, ostensibly to just be there and glare at people or intimidate them, and they were denied entry, and good riddance to them. This is the kind of thing they're going to be pulling. They will try and intimidate people online at polling places, inside polling places. They will try to go to polling places and not wear masks and cough all over you and intimidate you in that way. this is the kind of tactic we are dealing with right now, and it's disgusting, but it's what we can expect, and we have to fight this. I am heartened, however. We talked about this last week about the idea of wearing masks or the requirement to wear masks in polling places, and how so many states seem to be saying, oh, we can't really enforce it because it's adding a requirement for voting, and we certainly can't do that. Although we are going to ask black people for voter ID because we can't trust them. And if you're a felon, even though overwhelmingly people in Florida voted to have people who have been released from prison the right to vote, we're going to take that away from them too. But we are going to let people walk around without masks if that's their choice, because it's their choice. And if they infect other people, well, that's, you know, it doesn't make us feel guilty. But anyway, New York State, it's required. It's required to wear a mask when you go voting. So don't even think of showing up without a mask. And if you do show up without a mask, you'll still have the right to vote. You'll just be a complete jerk, and you will be ushered away to some other place where you can vote there and stay away from the rest of us. Why is this so hard? Why are we actually having this conversation where to keep people healthy, that becomes a political argument? It's unfathomable. But
it's just yet another distraction, and it's a total conflation of the real guidelines that all of us should heed and should have been all along and since way long ago in this fine year.
Yeah, it's common sense. It's science. I mean, yeah, I see as I'm saying it, these are enemies of people who fly in the face of anything factual. But really, it's your own health. It's your own health we're talking about. Don't you see the people around you getting sick? Don't you see the death toll? We're over 205,774, according to the TV I'm looking at right now. Over a million deaths in the world, all right? Over 7 million cases in the United States. This is insane, and it's going to get worse. Everybody is saying it's going to get worse because of the autumn and winter coming, where people are confined into spaces more, and because states like Florida are pretending it doesn't exist. What else can we say? We're facing the specter of Trump winning. I can't even say the words, winning re-election, and not even being able to escape the country because nobody will let us come to their country because we are such idiots as far as how we treat viruses that we are the number one spreader. Anyway, I'm optimistic. I just saw this Hofstra poll that came out. By the way, Stony Brook, why don't we have polls? Hofstra, you going to let them in Nassau County, that university with their second-rate sports teams and buildings that really aren't that much to look at, you're going to let them have the polls that say Joe Biden has an 11-point lead over Donald Trump nationwide? They get to say that, not Stony Brook? I think we have enough intelligent people here and certainly enough big spaces to make telephone calls from where we could have the Stony Brook WUSB poll. Huh? What do you think about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. I don't know what major that is, like statistics or some kind of concentration in public information and data.
We can figure that out.
Data scientists.
We'll figure out what major it is or who to get to do this. And
maybe the guy that like spins cotton candy can do it or something.
Is he still on campus?
I don't know.
Huh. Okay. Well, anyway, so yeah, Joe Biden holds an 11.3% lead over President Donald Trump among likely voters nationwide, has a 9.5% edge over Trump among suburban voters. That's us out here in Long Island, believe it or not. And that's according to Hofstra University's new Calico Center poll. Calico, what is it? It's a bunch of cats? Is that what they're doing? Okay, fine. Calico Center poll. We can come up with nifty names for polls, too. So we have imagination.
I think there's even cats on campus. So there might be like the Tabby
Are you
Institute.
Kidding? The cats have taken over campus because there are fewer students. So now the cats have moved into the dorms that they're not occupying.
The Mackerel Tabby Institute for Public Information. No, Public Data. We'll come up with an acronym.
Yeah, we'll
get a good acronym. But yeah.
And this time I'll make sure the acronym doesn't spell something embarrassing.
No, not like that other time.
Okay, so, so he had another thing, by the way. Hofstra University also has hosted presidential debates, as, you know, like the one tonight. Not that that's happening at Hofstra, that's happening in Cleveland. But Stony Brook should have one of those. I know it's a little further out. I know it's a longer train ride, but we have the capacity. So consider that, political people in the future. Anyway, Biden, I don't know why they have to explain this to us, but I guess Newsday feels they have to. Biden is the Democratic presidential nominee and a former vice president. He also holds wide leads over Trump, a Republican. Really, that's all you say about him, a Republican? How about a fascist, a meathead, somebody who has no experience whatsoever, who's driven this country into massive debt and has killed nearly a quarter of a million people in this country through his inaction? I guess you can't fit that into a paragraph, but that would be a lot more accurate. Hang on, I got lost. Holds wide leads over Trump among suburban women voters and college-educated suburban voters. Among voters nationwide, Biden leads Trump by 53.2% to 41.9%, while 5% of respondents prefer someone else. Really? What's the someone else you think is going to be the answer here? Clearly, they're not going to win. So please, put our nation's best interest first. Biden is ahead of Trump among suburban voters by a margin of 52.3% to 42.8%. Overall, the poll strongly implies that likely voters in the suburbs are breaking for Biden.
That's darn near 53%, dare I say.
Okay, and that sounds good, I guess, but I'm not satisfied with it because I think it should be over 20% lead with all the things that have happened over the past few years. My God, are there really that many people that support him? And yeah, there are. We see it. We see it all the time. We see the intimidation. We see the big pickup trucks with the massive flags that bear down on you. We see the signs being put up, not just little political signs, massive banners put up in front of people's homes. You can't even see out the windows anymore. You see business people taking over Main Street like Port Jefferson. You see all kinds of abuses of speech. And if you dare to say something opposite to that, you're the one that gets yelled at or chased or beaten or whatever. That's what we're living with right now.
Yeah, I think, and let's just put it this way, too, there's also a kind of cynicism and apathy that comes along with that camp. Mm-hmm. And I've been witness to it for years, the entirety of this term. And it's been really frustrating to have people in power that ostensibly didn't or don't care about politics ever.
This is not politics, though. This is our future. This is our lives.
Yeah.
You know, literally hundreds of thousands of people are dying because of this administration. Literally, the economy is collapsing. We're seeing all kinds of businesses go out of business. We're seeing the MTA is going to be eliminating routes on the LIRR because the federal government won't give them funds to survive because New York is an anarchist state or
jurisdiction.
Yeah, all these crazy conspiracy things that are coming out of the upper echelons now. So we are suffering as a result of that, and recovery will take forever, if at all. It's really disgusting what we're seeing. So, yeah, this is not just politics. This is everything. This is really everything. I can't even imagine what this country would be like if the election goes a bad way. I cannot imagine.
And it shouldn't be something that we entertain, this backlash from all of people's grievances and anger should not be projected upon the minority and then that participation
when you say minority, who do you mean?
The Democrats.
We're not the minority. I don't mean we, because I'm not a Democrat, but in this case I support the Democratic platform. But no, there are so many more Democrats than Republicans in this country. It's just they have a system set up where the minority wins through the Electoral College, through gerrymandering. Do you know that the House of Representatives could decide the presidency? And even though there are more Democratic representatives, again, the Republicans have the advantage because one vote per state is what you get. And there's more states with Republican representatives than Democratic representatives, even though there are more overall Democratic representatives. So there are all these little things that the Republicans apparently have planned out well in advance and are benefiting from, whether it's putting judges in every single court in the land so they always get their way. to basically negating votes so that even if somebody wins, they lose. How many times are we going to put up with that? I mean, it's happened twice in the last 20 years already on the presidential level, and it could very well happen again. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. The minority thing just set me off.
Yeah, I mean, you can go on about the way I phrase things, but that wasn't my point at all.
I will make your point.
Well, I just felt like saying that the dominance shouldn't negate the positions of the Democratic Party, and the Republicans cannot at all feign as though they've worked at all, like, willingly with in like a bipartisan way, as you'd expect. And I really hope that that's a message that Biden will be able to, like, bring in people like these quote undecideds and so forth.
Yeah, I cannot understand how anybody could be undecided after all this. Okay, so the tax returns are out. Yeah, finally, the tax returns are out. Thank you, New York Times. This is what journalism is about. And yeah, there's all these outraged people saying they got it illegal. Why are people defending Trump on this? Why are people continuing to defend him? It has been revealed that he paid $750 in tax, federal taxes, over 2 years. And for a whole bunch of years, more than 10 years, he didn't pay any federal taxes. You, whoever is listening, paid more. His staunchest defenders paid much more. Yet they defend him. He's cheating them literally, because guess what? That amount of money that pays for things, including the military, including all the things you do support, that money has to come from somewhere. And your taxes go up. You pay more if others pay less. So you're paying his share. One way or another, you are paying for this. And yet you support him. Because why? I hear, oh, he's a good businessman. The system isn't fair.
Because he makes me feel strong.
How? I really want to know. I
don't know. It's pathetic, but yeah.
This is typical of, and you know, I don't mean to talk down to people, but this is cult behavior, where despite all of the evidence, despite everything that is constantly being pointed out, and the numbers don't lie, you still defend the people that are ripping you off, that are basically keeping you from living a free life, and abusers. You are defending abusers. This is something that we see many, many times. I've just never seen it on such a massive scale in my lifetime.
And you're demonizing and victimizing the Democrats and other people that don't agree with you, immigrants and you name it.
Right.
But in the process.
I want to be clear that we are not demonizing Republicans and saying that they are all evil. We are saying, how can you come to this conclusion based on the evidence? And no matter what the evidence is, and literally, it can't get any more explicit than this. They will just come up with a reason why either the information is invalid or the heinous act that has been revealed is justified somehow. There is nothing. We've said this before. There is nothing that we can come up with that they will say, oh, wow, well, that changes my outlook. Nothing will change their outlook. We've had these conversations with people, and nothing seems to actually push them. I can't say that about people that we do agree with, because we're constantly arguing with them anyway. But if something was revealed about Biden that was this terrible, they would not be defending him. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, or like, I voted for Obama, but I mean, I didn't like him this much.
No, you know? I mean,
he was a decent president in my view, but that's an opinion.
Do you think I want Biden as president? No, Biden is not my choice. He's not my first choice. He's way far to the right. But given the choice between the two of them, absolutely. I mean, there was just no question. But those people out there are thinking, oh, this is Emmanuel's dream. No, this is kind of a nightmare for me, actually. Because
thanks for asking.
No, the country is not where I want it to be. And I'm worried about how much he's going to yield and compromise if he does get in power. But no matter what he does, even if he said the exact same things Trump was saying, he's such a more rational and nice person, an honest person. You know, they revealed, the Bidens revealed their tax returns today. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to get condemned for that. What a sneaky move, revealing your tax returns on the eve of a presidential debate. What has he got to hide? I mean, try it out. Try being a Trump person and like basically just casting aspersions everywhere. But it showed that he and his wife, Jill, made $944,737 in taxable income last year. They paid $299. No, they paid $299,346, 31% tax rate. Now, that to me says honesty. The guy paid his fair share.
Made a lot of money, paid a lot of money.
But the Trump people are going to spin this saying this is the kind of socialism that will take all your money that you'll never have, because guaranteed nobody is ever going to have money like this who's behind Trump, who's not actually in Trump's office.
And he doesn't even have the money.
And yeah, it's what
people think he has, and that's the hilarious part. It's just tragic and awful.
Kamala Harris revealed her tax returns as well. $500,000 she paid.
Oh,
$500,000.
So she made a little over $1 million.
And Trump
or something?
Pays either $750 or nothing, and is in debt up to his ears. All the things he's been saying about being a good businessman are not true, because
derides the military, and he's a total fanboy of them, but doesn't pay for their
equipment. No, he's not a fanboy of them at all. I mean, he talks the talk, but he does not walk the walk. He basically transfers the money. That doesn't make him a fanboy, because he doesn't understand the first thing about the military. He's never served in the military. I don't think anybody in his family has. And Biden has all kinds of military connections.
Way more, yeah.
And I'm not saying this as something necessarily to be proud of, because I'm not a military person, as you must know. But if you're looking at that, I don't see how you can reach a conclusion that Trump somehow is more allied with the military than Biden. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't get how these people in the Midwest sitting in delis are saying they trust Trump over Biden. It seems like Biden is the kind of guy you could sit down with and actually have a conversation. He'll have your back. Trump, you really trust that guy? I mean, he is from New York. He is everything that you supposedly hate about New Yorkers. Arrogant, basically wasting money, not caring about anybody else. It's all there. It's all right there. And you don't see it because you hate the same people. That's the only thing I can think of. You hate the same immigrants. You hate the same activists. You hate the same policies. And, you know, I'm willing to give the people a chance to think it through. I know there's no hope for Trump. I know he is just so filled with hatred and ignorance. I don't believe the same is true for the people of the country who are simply following him. I think if they actually had the opportunity to weigh the issues and see what benefits them and what does not, they would reach the same conclusion. But right now, they're part of this cult behavior. It's scary. It is really scary. And it's not going to go away after the election.
It's Stockholm syndrome, right? They're identifying with their captor, but they're not physically captured. It's more of a mental Stockholm.
Yeah, Stockholm syndrome is when you're taken hostage. And there wasn't really... I don't recall hostage taking so much.
Well, in their minds.
Yeah, just sort of indoctrination. Oh, it's really disturbing. But yeah, so...
There will be fissures. There will be... Yeah, these taxes are an example of breaks with that. People will start turning away from this. And as that permeates to your neighbor and through some of the conversations, perhaps there's hope, especially with people that haven't made up their mind. God help them. Please,
I don't know who these people
mind.
Are, how you could not make up your mind. But I'll tell you this right now. Nothing is going to change the people who are supporting him. Nothing. This proves it. We thought it last week. This proves it. Literally what Trump said about shooting somebody on Fifth Avenue is true. He could do that. They would still support him. Yeah. I don't know what it's going to take when he is finally driven from power and forced at gunpoint from the White House if necessary, which, you know, somebody has to say that instead of saying we're going to file papers and go to court. No, that's not going to work. He owns the courts now because we let him do that. But when that happens, I don't know how long the period of recovery is going to be for those people that are supporting him through anything. It's, you know, they're still going to be here, and they are our neighbors, our relatives. I don't know how to handle this. And I think it's going to be like a massive psychology session that we're all going to have to go through in the years ahead. I just hope that we're able to stand each other's company. Now, if Trump wins, I don't know. All bets are off the table as far as that goes.
Oh, I'd say, yeah, if it's a Biden win, I would hope that people are willing to get to work and to do things, actually get some things done in society instead of four more years of this. All these external favors that you're somehow feeling benefit other people, but you somehow feel an affinity towards Trump and a loyalty that is really undeserved. And I don't know what the plan is. Four more years of him and then his dynasty.
It wouldn't
it's
be
insane. It doesn't allow for any of the diplomatic measures that are needed in the current climate. Mm-hmm. And to say anything of industry and economics, there's so much that needs to be done. And part of something that's annoyed me for this entire 4 years is the infrastructure was never done.
No.
There was supposed to be infrastructure week. It all went to like oil and gas companies or airlines to build airports or another lane somewhere on a road, but it's not comprehensive. And you know what? If you really have an economy, if you recognize there's going to be another 50 million people in your country, you know, as you grow, you're going to need some infrastructure so that people can work and live. And if you don't get to work and realize, and that should go dovetail hand in glove with this whole nationalist plan, but instead we're going to have nationalist lockdown and not do any of that. And I think that's just such a waste of time. And that's what I'm saying, is that this has been four wasted years, mostly listening to and talking about Trump. And I'm tired of it. This country is tired of it. And we don't have the time to waste anymore.
Your infrastructure has not improved in 4 years. Your income has not improved in 4 years. Your health has not improved in 4 years. And your law and order has certainly not improved. All of this is on Trump's watch. He'll try to blame it on everyone else but him. But this all happened under his watch. And another 4 years of that, do you think any of that is going to improve? I don't know who I'm talking to, because I know the Trump people are not going to listen to me. But it's going to get a lot worse. Yeah, you see riots now under Trump. Another 4 years, it's going to be a lot worse than riots. And that's not on Biden. That is on Trump, because of his policies, because of the way he treats people, because of what he is doing to our cities and to our country.
What he's validated. I said that 4 years ago, and here we are.
The next 4 years are not going to be like the previous 4 years if it's with Trump in power. It is not going to be like that at all, because this time they will feel they have a mandate. They will feel they can do whatever they want. They can get away with anything they want. Here's an example. This guy, Wilbur Ross, the Secretary of Commerce, on Monday, the U.S. Census Bureau announced that Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross has announced a target date of October 5th, 2020, to conclude the 2020 census. This comes despite an order by a federal judge on Friday directing the census to continue through October 31st. In other words, Wilbur Ross defies federal judges. says census will end early despite court order. And that's it. That's it. He overruled a judge.
No reason given? Nothing?
No, he doesn't have to give a reason. He's a Trump appointee. He can just do what he wants. So the federal judge said October 31st. Wilbur Ross said, nope, October 5th. Nowhere do I see, is this guy going to get hauled off to jail, contempt of court? What? When are they going to start paying the penalty for all these abuses? They just keep getting away with it. This Supreme Court debacle. I mean, I just hope Democrats come in swinging, assuming they win. They don't try to be fair. They don't try to be nice. They fix this first. And then once this is fixed, and we're back at a state where we were at before this nightmare began, then we can start thinking about what's fair.
Yeah, the conditions are not right for collegiality and all of that bipartisanship I've been, you know, bloviating about.
Uh-huh.
It's not there.
No.
We do not have that. And that is really important to the kind of government, at least the functional kind, we remember.
They will not be shaking hands tonight in Cleveland, Biden and Trump. Now, they say it's because of the coronavirus, but no, it's not because of that. Biden insisted. I do not want to touch that. All right. Hey, it's time. Yes, it's time once again for the sustaining feature films of the year that was, where Kyle and I take a journey back into time and for some reason come back here to look at the Academy Award-winning films for every single year that the Academy Awards existed. Yes. And then some, because we went back into the 1800s too. And I believe we are at 1979?
1980.
1980 is when it came out, or when it won. You see, there's a difference. I kind of lost track. You might be right. It might be 1980.
I'm trying to check actively, and I'm just skimming. I don't see anything other than 80 here.
Okay.
This is the American movie. So we I believe, have moved into the 80s.
We are in the 80s, but I believe
it may have been filmed. It's based on a 76 novel, so it may have been filmed in 79.
Well, I'm sure it had to have been filmed, right, in 79.
78, I don't know, but...
What film are we talking about?
Ordinary People.
Ordinary People. Now, that is one of my favorites, and you didn't like it at all. Explain.
That's interesting to just throw.
Explain yourself, Kyle.
Over
How
to me.
Dare you?
It was triggering. I don't know. It reminded me a lot of growing up, in some ways. Just
I have confirmed it's 1980. By the way, I've confirmed that
the like chaos and control of that period, and trying to keep up with the neighbors. You know that. I don't know, the idea, the concept of what family should be, I think it really challenged a lot of that in showing how messy it can be. And that it was difficult for me to watch because I grew up in sort of a middle class background, and I just recognized a lot of little aspects, how fleeting certain things are, and or like, you know, what is the plan, you know, it's or not feeling like it fits your concept, or having differing concepts of what your family is,
right.
and the ideal, you realize you're in something that someone else sort of devised, and it's and you're taking it on in a lot of ways. So there's some of that, and I just,
you didn't have Mary Tyler Moore as a mother though, and she starred in this film, and she was phenomenal, I thought. Basically, just to sum up, it's a film about ordinary people, a mother, a father, and a son, but they had another son who died in a boating accident, and the second son has been in a mental institution, ostensibly because of the trauma of that. And in fact, it turns out that the mother has issues and is actually blaming him for the death of her favorite son. And what's really interesting is that Judd Hirsch is in this, from Taxi. I guess that's what he's known for mostly, playing a psychiatrist. And the reason this film is interesting and pivotal is because it displays psychiatry. I know I keep saying psychology. Psychiatry in a positive manner, whereas in the past it had always been the evil psychiatrist, basically getting you to say things or blame things, and this guy really comes through. He really gets the issues out there and has a lot of breakthroughs. And
sort of like the advent of talk therapy, and I think that's psychology. Psychiatry is. That counsel as well as medication.
Is he a psychiatrist or a psychologist? I thought he was a psychiatrist.
Well, I think, wow. I'm muddying, of course, your description.
Right,
of
while
the,
you're figuring that out, also
thing.
Can I point out this? It was pivotal also because of this musical bit that everybody was playing back then. Pachelbel's Canon in D major. Yeah, that it was little known. Can you believe this was little known before that? And it was played several times in the film, and just I think that might be why it won, because it was so incredibly dramatic, catchy, and something that just stuck, you know? I'm sorry, I'm getting all misty-eyed. listening to this.
So it was a psychiatrist.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, then.
So I don't know, but they didn't emphasize any kind of drug taking. So who am I?
But that's not necessarily what psychiatry is. You see, that's what I'm talking about, is the negative connotations. But this was focusing on the positive, on just having somebody talk something through, on being available in a crisis, and asking the hard questions.
Yeah, apparently it was dealing. It was going through how the protagonist dealt with post-traumatic stress, PTSD as we know it now, and survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
Because of course there was some involvement in this accident. And yeah, it was a lot of close-ups, a lot of tight shots, not a lot of establishing stuff to give you a sense of place. That is something I did have difficulty with, and this is a very sleepy track, so I apologize for being...
Well, it wasn't like they were playing it throughout the whole film, but it's just something emotional about it, you know, and seeing just suburban life and trees and school and things like that. And also, it was the second film in a row that won the Academy Award in the United States that is about interpersonal relationships, the one before that, Kramer versus Kramer. And that was sort of unusual, because usually it's some kind of epic war battle or something historical that... Or Rocky. that is just a little different. But I liked it. And you didn't, and you're entitled, I guess. But we also have...
I'm not a big fan of... Donald Sutherland. I don't know. He's
Kiefer Sutherland's dad, you know, from 24. Just so you know. No, I preferred him. I preferred him in Animal House, actually. But
he's just as a dad. I don't know. Just
yeah. What's our international film?
He's definitely dadding me out. Anyway, the following film, 1980 international best picture. I will not try to pronounce this. It's Moscow Does Not Believe in Tears. Moskva.
What were you trying not to pronounce? Because you did that very well. What weren't you trying to pronounce?
Romanized. Moscow Does Not Believe in Tears.
Okay, but you had no trouble pronouncing that.
Moskva Slezim Neverit.
Oh, you're trying to read Cyrillic.
That's the Romanized version of the Cyrillic. I can't read Cyrillic
No one was asking you to read Cyrillic.
It includes this Romanized one, so I made the attempt. But anyway, this is about... What is it about? It's about...
It's about 3 hours long, is what it's
about. A
bunch
of women...
you saw the film. You don't have to read the synopsis. Don't you remember? A bunch of women and a woman's...
They're sort of cohabitating, trying to, like, find a man and basically establish their own families and be somewhat independent.
Right. It was basically, it took place 20 years prior, so about 1960. A bunch of, and they weren't playing this music there. God's sake.
Yeah, why is that?
Sorry about that. Got out of hand. They basically were in a women's dormitory, which is exactly what women moving to Moscow in search of work or some kind of career would be doing. And I thought it was fascinating because you got to see that lifestyle. It's a Soviet film. It was made there. There's a lot of really good shots as far as architecture, street scenes, the subway. Everything was included there.
And it didn't seem as staged as you might imagine. This just seemed like, okay, we're going to shoot at this factory today, and it's really a factory, and the actors are going to stand over here, and this is just basically going to be happening in a regular work day in the background. And it was amazing, the, like you said, the scenery, the industrial, just the might and the hard grit of the big city there.
And it basically took liberties more than I expected a film like that to do. People criticizing the government, people basically engaged in sexual behavior, even see some nudity. It's interesting. And of course, then it propels to 20 years further. So you get to see the Soviet Union in the present state. And to me, it was an eye opener. It was an interesting story. I had trouble telling people apart because there were a lot of people who looked the same to me. Just basically a lot of similar age people pursuing the same things and couples. And but it was good. I'm glad I took that little journey and got to see that part of life. Any other lasting impressions?
No.
All right, then. So we are done with... this week's feature. I should say, though, that I had to go through a lot to get that because it's very hard to find that film for less than a fortune. I was able to find it through somebody in Korea, actually, and it came with a little sticker on the DVD. It says, "Thank you for your purchase. I have a little son and a wife. Your order made my family happy. I hope you are satisfied with my products and service. I hope you and your family to be safe from the threat of COVID-19. This DVD is imported from Korea. This DVD may have different configurations of US DVDs, covers, and menus. You can play the DVD." Thank you. That's literally what it says. You can play the DVD. This DVD is legally produced by copyright contract. So all of that is a big relief.
Yeah, that's basically going to clinch the deal for me as far as a sale. Well,
I'm
that's
glad
reassuring.
You told me he had a little son and wife.
Yeah, that's kind of adorable.
You know, you should have said that before I bought it. That might have made me buy it, you know, more. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that information now that I already have the DVD, but okay, good luck to you over there. So it's got Korean writing and it was dubbed. I was a bit annoyed by that because I wanted to hear the original soundtrack, but there wasn't an option to do that. You could have it, the captions read in English, but it's already in English, so that didn't really make much sense. And we could have seen it in Korean too, but that definitely wouldn't have made much sense to us. Anyway, so that's our 1980 films. Onwards to 81.
Films from the year that were.
You got some good mail today. What'd you get?
Oh, this?
Yeah, that. Jumping up and down before. Well, you're going to open it without telling us what it is before you open it?
Well, I was... Okay, all right. I'll do it the way you...
Big blue
you
and white envelope there.
You see, you hear it.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Smack yourself in the face. Oh, that must hurt.
That's wow. Heavy duty. Well, all this talk of, you know, what we're facing, what we're up against, the things, it just made me realize I should do something about that. And one of the ways we've been talking about is by voting. Mm-hmm. And I got a real, in my hand is a real, this is a real ballot that I can send through the U.S. Postal Service.
Uh-huh.
And what happens is they accept this and then I get to vote.
I think we know how that works.
In the election.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're aware of this process.
Well, not only am I aware of this process, we've done this very thing before on this show with your ballot. So basically the big news is that your ballot arrived today and let's just make sure it's for the right election. Can you open it and just tell us what the choices are?
Yeah. It's election day, November 3rd.
Okay. Kyle doesn't have a mic stand, so he can't open an envelope and hold the mic at the same time. So what you're going to hear is the envelope opening, hopefully, and we will see if the ballot is in there. And this system works in Washington State, which is where it came from. Everybody in Washington State votes by mail. I'm impressed with how well it works.
It's the only way to vote.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you got there?
Yeah, this is all of the supplies. Okay, so there's instructions. There's a ballot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There is a optional security sleeve. See, I'll hold that up for you.
Okay.
To see. Yeah.
Wait, who is that for? So I don't see
it's
your voter.
It's for security, obviously. God, but, if you have to ask.
But where do you put the security
it's
sleeve?
It's a need-to-know basis, okay?
All right. Sarcasm aside, where do you put the sleeve?
You put
sleeve?
It in the envelope.
Okay, so who doesn't see it? I guess whoever
you put
is.
The ballot in the sleeve, okay. And then you put the sleeve in the envelope. Yeah, anyway, so.
Also, somebody compares your signature, I guess. Is that what?
Yeah, it's so that someone can probably remove the ballot from the envelope and not glance and see perhaps one or the other votes. And this is as expected. Yep. Yeah, federal. Okay, state. This is a lot. Wow. I didn't realize. Okay, so
you
Hillary,
have a lot of work to do.
Where's Hillary?
No. Stop that. Don't even joke about that. Can you tell me? Because we only have a couple minutes left, Kyle.
Yeah. What were you trying to check?
The presidential race. How is it laid out?
Yeah, I found it. It's over here. Okay, it's on the front of my official ballot.
Okay.
The bottom.
It's probably the first thing to vote for, right?
Yeah, well, it's not the first thing to vote
really?
For.
Really? What's ahead of the presidential race?
Several different items, but that's specific to my district. I'm not going to get into
Oh, because that comes first. That comes.
I don't want to get into
that.
No, anyway,
Washington
so
State, that's
to
the
To answer your question, let's see. President and Vice President of the United States, partisan office, vote for one pair. And
it says partisan office?
Well, yeah, because it's partisan.
I know that, but I never saw that on a ballot.
All right. You ready?
Go ahead.
the first choice, Joseph R. Biden and Kamala D. Harris.
Okay, all right.
Democratic Party nominees. All right. Second choice, Donald J. Trump and Michael R. Pence. Republican Party nominees.
His middle initials are. That's funny. I got to make fun of something.
Joe Jorgensen and Jeremy Spike Cohen.
Wait, who? Jeremy Spike Cohen? Spike?
These
really?
The Libertarian Party nominees.
Oh, my God. Get out of here.
Fourth choice, Howie Hawkins and Angela Walker.
Howie Hawkins? What are they for?
Green Party nominees.
Okay. Seriously, guys?
Fifth choice, Gloria LaRiva and Sunil Freeman.
Okay, so we don't bleed over into the 9 o'clock hour. How many choices are there? Because Washington ballots can get out of hand.
Socialism and Libertarian Party nominees.
Yeah, this is the year for the Socialism Party to win.
Sixth and final choice, Allison Kennedy and Malcolm M. Jarrett, Socialist Workers Party nominees.
Wait, you mean there's a Socialist Party and a Socialist Workers Party?
No, there's a Socialism and Libertarian Party nominees, and then there's a Socialist Workers Party nominees, and then there's a Libertarian Party nominees. That all three, all I'm right. Just saying that might be for you, but
no, this is not the year for a protest vote.
We really want you to think about your votes, everybody. So just, I know you have maybe a specific thing in mind and it is a partisan vote, but just spend some time, take a deep breath. I'm probably going to do the same thing, but you know what I'm definitely going to do is watch the debates first. Then I'll start thinking about answering some of these bubbles or, you know,
yeah, because
filling it out.
Biden everything. Can rip off his head and reveal that he's a lizard, and that might change your opinion. Although, you know what? If he did that, I still would not want to vote for Trump.
No, but there's also the vice presidential debates and tomorrow night.
That's not tomorrow night. It's a week from tomorrow night.
No, I know. But there's another debate in the presidential. There's several in the presidential,
yes.
But the vice presidential is next week, too. So don't vote too early, but definitely vote early. And I'm really thrilled because I was anticipating this this ballot to come much later, and I think that is in part just because of the urgency, because of that sort of disruption and everything that had been in the news the last couple of weeks. So I'm really excited, and I hope everyone who is expecting a ballot gets their ballot as well.
And let us know, otw@2600.com. Hey, a few people actually wrote to us over the last – we got a lot of mail this last week. I don't know what it is. Sometimes we get very little. Sometimes we get a lot. Sometimes we get no mail. Please, otw@2600.com. We want to hear from you. No matter where you are, no matter what you think, tell us about ourselves or tell us about you. Here's a letter from somebody who is anonymous. Bullies suck. Yeah, we were talking about bullies last week. That story hit me in the gut. I got hit on the head with books getting off the school bus plus other crap. Kindred spirits. I know that feeling. You would think Massapequa was like an oasis. Why would I think Massapequa was like an oasis? I mean, yeah, it's on Long Island. It's nice, but it's a South Shore. It's not an oasis, though.
Maybe if you're not from New York, you might think Massapequa was.
It's a stone's throw away from the Amityville Horror, so you got that.
I think New Yorkers have too much information. But
I
yes.
Can't figure out Massapequa was in Nassau or Suffolk either, so there's always that doubt. Yeah. Here's another letter. Great show. Thank you for keeping it going during the pandemic. It's what's keeping us going during the pandemic. Seriously. Otherwise, we have nothing to say.
Yeah. I admit I've gotten a bit lazy, though.
Yeah. Anyway, there's some small sort of consistency during these times. That's us, the small sort of consistency.
I'll take that.
That's a good thing to put under the show. Off the wall. Small
that's resume material right there.
Yeah. Just thought I would share an example of what we are up against these next few weeks in the picture below. And here's the picture I'm going to... give to you, Kyle.
I didn't see the picture.
Here's
what
the picture.
Is this?
It's called a Trump shop.
Oh.
The fact that such a place exists is disturbing enough. The even more disturbing part is that their lease expires on October 13th, and on October 14th, the location becomes a location for early voting. Wow. Well, okay. I mean, if their lease is expiring and the building is changing hands and becoming... They're not going to keep the Trump signs up. I mean, they better not. If they do that, please let us know if they keep the Trump. There's a lot of Trump signs there. What do you make of that Trump shop?
Well, this is just the merch game for the Republicans. They really went crazy with all of this, and I'm going to say it, imported souvenir and branded stuff. But there's apparently a cottage industry, just like Grateful Dead T-shirts and stuff.
You have the Trump shop, so well, I guess that's where you go.
It's a big building. But
to get your flags with him emblazoned over the flag.
But their lease runs out. It's a temporary thing. Anyway, continuing with this letter, I live in a very red district in a very red state, so this attempt at voter imitation?
I think they meant intimidation.
Intimidation, yes. Will likely... Actually, it might say irritation in my printer. This might not print that well. Will likely have little to no impact, but it is just another example of what we are up against. This has been mentioned in a few news articles, but the Election Commission has said that no laws have been broken. And that's how they work.
But if
no laws have been broken.
If people are cruising by looking at the address so they can figure out where to vote and they see this, it's going to be disenchanting.
Well, it might make people want to go
maybe,
there to vote against that,
yeah,
too.
Maybe it will. Maybe it will motivate people.
I can only imagine the outrage and what would be said if it were a Biden store instead. If there are such things as Biden stores. Keep doing what you're doing. Sign JMO. JMO, thank you for that letter. And one final letter in the minute we have left. I've been enjoying listening to both your programs for more years than I wish to remember, at least 20 for Off the Hook. Someone used to post the recordings on a BBS back in the day. Those were the days. Anyway, I was listening to random music today and Pink Floyd's Sheep from 1977 came up. I realized just how relevant the lyrics are to today, echoing from the deep past of the super conservative Britain of Mary Whitehouse, etc. You know, people listen to that Pink Floyd album, they hear the lyric, "Hey, you White House." They think they're talking about the White House in the U.S. They're talking about Mary Whitehouse.
Yeah.
Look up Mary Whitehouse. Very interesting person.
I don't know anything about her. It's
there's
wild.
A documentary, in fact, or a docudrama. It seems to me, reflecting the current situation of the U.S. and U.K. as we blindly head into the Valley of Steel. I thought it might be a good outro on Off the Wall. And Neil, thank you for that. It is a good outro, but we're not going to play it because it's 10 minutes long. I wanted to acknowledge it at least. I'm sorry. It's important to acknowledge things. And we are very familiar with the song Sheep. It's a good song. It's a good album. And we suggest people listen to that. But for tonight, listen to this instead. Watch the debate. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Stay awake, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
Bye.
I would send out for assistance, but the soul on the signal wire. And the corporation logo is flashing on and off in the sky. They're putting all your names in the forbidden book. I know what they're doing, but I don't want to look. You think they're so dumb, you think they're so funny. Wait until they got you running.
Glasses, indeed.